Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show. Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Every Tuesday at this time, we talk with New England Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Willie McGinnis, as we do here as well. Good morning, Willie. How are you?
I am well, man. How are you guys doing?
Good. We're doing great, thank you. Were you surprised to see that the Patriots parted ways with Ben Watson yesterday?
Yeah, I was surprised. Didn't see it coming, but you know, you can never be surprised with some of the moves and some of the things that the Patriots do. Not sure why, but whatever it was and why, it's usually what's best for the team. They plan on going in a different direction or making a different move. So can never really question what the Patriots do when it comes to things like that. We've seen it too many times, and it worked out too many times for them.
Do you think right now they're getting enough out of the tight end position with Ryan Izzo and Matt LaCoste?
I think so. And I think they've been there for the last few weeks, and they play at a certain level, and they know what they are, how they're going to use them. So, like I mentioned, you can't question what the Patriots do. They know their roster. They know how they want to play and how they want to use certain personnel guys and certain personnel groups and how they're going to game plan around those guys.
I know you can only play the teams on your schedule, but I'm looking at a Patriots defense that's first in the league in virtually every department, including points allowed per game and interceptions and sacks and passing yards and all of that. Do you temper your enthusiasm for the defense based on the opposition and the quarterbacks they face so far?
Absolutely not. You still got to go out and crush teams regardless. If people, when you play teams and you're better than those teams, or people think or what they say on paper, and you go up against somebody, you got to go out and you got to play at a high level regardless. The Patriots are the champs. Everybody's going to give them their best shot. Every offensive coordinator is going to throw everything they have at this defense and at this team because of who's coaching this team. So you got to go out, you got to play at a high level. And the games that you're supposed to win, teams that you're better than, you got to go out and you got to impose your will. You got to play at a high level. And you got to be aggressive and go after them. So there's no gimmies in the NFL. You see surprises every single week, teams that you don't think are going to win against other teams. And, you know, that's why you go out and you play the game. So I would say this is building momentum. They continue to play at a certain level every single week, keep it going. And regardless of what we think is an explosive offense or not a good offense or whatever, you got to go out and still play the game at a high level.
Willie, how tough is it if you're a part of a defense that plays so many guys? Because on the one hand, you're like, all right, everybody's, you know, staying fresh. But if you're somebody who's used to playing a much higher percentage of the snap count, but now because you're on a team with so much depth, you're constantly going on and off the field. Can that be a tough adjustment for a player?
Hey, it could be, but welcome to New England. This is the blueprint. This is how it's always been. And I think that's why they've been so successful over the years. Well, in fact, I know that's why New England's been so successful over the years, because everybody has a role. And once you understand your role within, whether it's the defense, special teams, or offense, and understand why they do certain things, and the coaches are smart, they've been evaluating these players before they've even gotten there. So they know their strengths and weaknesses and how to use them. It's up to you to prove you can do more within that system. And once you do, then they'll use you more in different places. But they're going to put you in position to make plays, but they're also going to scheme around what's best for the team to go out each and every week to win games. And your role may change from week to week. And that's just been the Patriots since Belichick has been there.
One of the things Bill talked about today during his press conference was the versatility of the linebacking core and the ability of those guys, Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower and others, to basically play in virtually any situation and almost any position.
Yeah, that's important. And I think that's why they're having a lot of success defensively, because when you're an offense, you can't go out and look at those guys and say they're going to be in the same position every week, or they can also change jobs. And I think that's what made us a good defense. And I always compare what these guys are doing now to what we did. We had a lot of different guys that were interchangeable that can change jobs in the middle of a play. They can cover, they can get after the passer. They play great against the run. If one guy is down, they can move guys around. That's the versatility. You don't have to run guys on and off the field, but everybody has a different role. And, you know, offensively, when you're lining up against certain guys, it's hard to call out who's going to be the mic or who's doing what, because they can change jobs at any given time. So the versatility, the flexibility within the position allows you to do more. And when you can do more, it makes it tougher for offenses to figure out what you're doing.
Do you feel as though this Patriots offense is good enough, or do you think they should add another piece?
I think this offense has been explosive. I think they are good enough. I just think they played some pretty solid defenses. The Bills was a top five defense. Washington did a good job, you know, for a little while of figuring some things out until the Patriots exploded in the second half. But I think this offense is solid. I think they got players that can make plays. I think they got a great group of running backs that can do a lot of different things. Edelman's a guy, man, he's solid. He's consistent. He always gives you an opportunity to make a big play, along with Gordon, along with Philip Dorsett when he gets back. And like I said, Josh McDaniels, man, they do a phenomenal job at scheming up different defenses every single week that they're going to play against and devising a plan to go out and attack. And the players that are on that offense understand that things change as well from week to week, but they just got to go out and continue to execute. So not worried. They'll get better and better as the weeks go on.
We're talking to Patriots Hall of Famer Willie McGinest, NFL Network analyst as well. Teammates of yours always said you were a guy who helped set the tone, what was right, what was wrong, how you act, how you carry yourself. I didn't realize that pregame handshakes were a big deal in the NFL, but according to Richard Sherman, they are, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I guess they are, man. They should keep doing those handshakes or whatever they're doing down in San Francisco. But Richard Sherman, man, is one of my favorite players that's in the game, that's played the game. And he's one of those leaders that sets the tone, that gets guys fired up. He's a smart player. He's a motivated player. He goes out, one of the most productive players at his position to ever do it. And if it's handshakes that he's getting going out there as a leader that's getting these guys fired up, or pregame talks, whatever it is, he needs to continue to do it.
Now, what's going on with the Cleveland Browns? What's their biggest problem right now? Is it Baker Mayfield? Is it the coaching? Is it the O-line? What do you think it is?
You know, it's a lot of things that are breaking down when you watch the team. Defensively, I thought they would be better. They gave up some big plays yesterday. Offensively, just not in sync. Just really, really no true identity. And it's hard to have an identity when you fall down so many points, because that eliminates the run game. And I think you got one of the better running backs in the game. You have to establish the game and start the game with that. But when a team jumps out 14 points, it kind of, you know, pulls you away from the running game. But whether it's Baker Mayfield that needs to play better, whether it's the offensive line that needs to protect better to give them time, you know, you can nitpick all the way around it. They've got to play better. And just because you have a talented team on paper doesn't mean it's going to result into wins. You got to have that continuity. You got to trust each other. You got to gel. You got to understand that everybody's role is probably going to change from week to week. Just because you got some of the best receivers in the game doesn't mean you're probably going to air it out every single week. But those plays will be set up through the running game. And I think for Baker, he's just got to keep growing. You know, what people don't understand, he hasn't been starting for a long time. So he's still developing within the position. He's still learning. He is a talented player. But for him, too, he's got to make good decisions. He's got to be able to stand in the pocket, let plays develop, make key throws. And I know it's tough, but this thing will get better. I like their coach. I think he's an old-school coach. And players like him. They bought into the system. They just got to go out and execute. And you're not. It's all not going to happen in one game. It's going to take time. But execute and just do what you're supposed to do and do it at a high level.
We here think that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback who's ever played the game, which is why to see him in consecutive games throw awful red zone interceptions is jarring to us. We're just not used to seeing him make those kinds of mental mistakes. Is it just trying to do more because he knows the offense has lagged a little bit?
No, I think as players, we all make mistakes sometimes. Nobody plays perfect games. And I think with Tom, he's always trying to go out and make a play and give his offense an opportunity to go out and score points, especially in the red zone. You want to be able to score points and play at a high level. But defense is doing a good job of making plays. I don't think anybody wants to go out there and have turnovers. And just because he's thrown a couple of interceptions, it's not going to make me say, oh, Tom's not the same player or he's not playing at a high level. I don't know what quarterback is playing perfect football or have played perfect football. But I'm not worried. They'll get it together. This bothers him more than anybody. He loves to be perfect. He loves to go in and execute at a high level. And they'll get it together. He's watching tape. He's more prepared than almost any player in the league every single week. So they'll figure it out. They'll put it together. And not worried at all about a couple of interceptions from Tom Brady.
It was just announced last couple of minutes that Rob Gronkowski has been hired as an NFL analyst by Fox. He's going to make his debut Thursday night for the Patriots-Giants game. What was that transition like for you, Willie? What kind of advice would you have for Gronk going from a player to then an analyst?
Well, it's a little different when you got just cameras staring at you and you're trying to talk and have a conversation about football. But what I would say is people want to know from a player's perspective what you're seeing or what you're going through. Not really about stats and numbers when it comes to players when they're communicating and describing the game, because anybody could pick up a phone, a tablet, or a Microsoft tablet, anything, and punch up numbers. But they want the insight from you, what players are going through, how they prepare, what they're seeing in certain plays, and they want to hear you break down plays and what you would do in certain situations. So I think as an analyst for Rob, he's played in some high-level games. He's played it at a high level. They just want to hear from his eyes or see it from his brain, what he's seeing on the field, and have him just break that down for the average fan.
You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram, at Willie McGinnis. He joins us every Tuesday. We always appreciate the time. Willie, thanks.
Hey, thank you, guys.
See ya. That is Willie McGinnis joining us, and as you heard Rich say just moments ago, it doesn't surprise me that Fox or somebody offered Rob Gronkowski a broadcasting job, because he's got that infectious personality. You could see where somebody would want to tap into that if they could.
Yeah.
It surprises me a little bit that they announced the hiring on Tuesday and he makes his debut on Thursday.
That is weird, isn't it? The timing of the whole thing? I mean,
I know that the Patriots are playing Thursday night football and right. All of that makes sense.
It's good timing for them, and it's, you know, it makes a lot of sense to have his first thing. Not only is it a Patriots game, but it's a home game for the Pats, so you definitely want him to be a part of that. Yeah, I wonder how he's going to be, you know, because it's not always, we've seen in the past.
He's not a great interview.
No, he's not.
We've talked about that in the past.
Great personality doesn't always come across, though, when in the interviews, right? And I think you got all the cameras. As Willie McGinnis said, you know, all of a sudden, you're used to talking football. These guys know so much about football, but then they get a little out of their element. All of a sudden, you have all these lights and cameras in their face. They're like, hey, break down the game. Tell us about the game. And so, I don't know. I mean, you're definitely going to tune in. You're going to want to see what he says, how he sounds, and everything else. But, yeah, I was pretty curious.
Here's the statement attributed to Rob Gronkowski. because I don't believe he wrote this.
You don't think so? Did he say?
I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest he might not have, but okay. I'll give it to you.
All
quote.
Right. Yo soy fiesta.
I'm extremely excited to be joining Fox Sports. For the past 25 years, they've offered viewers top-notch NFL programming from the field to the booth to the studio.
Come on.
Their deep talent roster is unmatched, which was important for me as I embark on this new chapter in my life.
Oh, their talent roster
because I'll be able to learn from the best in the business, unquote.
Come on. That's embarrassing.
So you're with me that this didn't come...
I don't think he's going
to
be very good.
Off the dome from Rob Gronkowski.
I don't think he's going to be very good. Again, you can go back. There's so many great players who were not great analysts. Emmitt Smith is one of the worst analysts I've ever seen in my life.
And I'll also say this. The number of former Patriots who have made the successful
jump.
In it. It's amazing.
And some of them are very, very good.
Rodney Harrison is great.
William
Teddy
McGinnis,
Bruschi is great. Willie McGinnis. I mean, there have been so many.
Randy Moss.
Patriots. Absolutely. Who've made that jump. And I'm not saying Rob Gronkowski can't
Christian
or won't.
Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins.
Yes.
There's a million of them. And yeah, he definitely could. But I wonder what this is. And also, you know, just because he got hired by Fox doesn't mean that your hope that he comes back is out because...
Oh, no. I promise you, if
it
you know, 2 weeks
anything.
From now, he says, yeah, you know, I think I want to play again.
Jay Cutler got hired by Fox and never even did a game and went right back to the Dolphins. Jason Witten did a whole season on the Monday Night Crew and was horrible at it, and now is back playing.
He will join Terry Bradshaw, Michael Strahan, Tony Gonzalez, and NFL insider Peter Schrager on the pregame
another
show.
Maybe one or two more guys. It is a joke. Don't you think with some of these countdown shows, when they line up and there's like 10 guys breaking it down, like, what are we doing? You need 10 former players to talk about, you know, a couple of games. And then they have all these like pre-packaged interviews and everything else. Those shows are odd. They can be a tough watch. That's why you should listen to NFL Sunday.
That too.
You know.
Now Gronk, as we said, has that infectious personality. I wonder how much of that, first of all, how much of it's going to be able to come out when you start a job 2 days after they announce it. Maybe he's been working behind the scenes
He's probably been doing a lot of demos.
You know, maybe they've been doing mock shows.
I bet they have.
I'm going to guess they haven't done that.
Him and Goon.
I'm going to guess that maybe this, what you see Thursday, is going to be the first time he steps onto a set there.
And also, does he still sound like a Patriot? I bet he does. My prediction is he goes out there and doesn't say a bad thing about anybody. And then that's when you can also start to read into it a little bit more. Just like, you know, when John Gruden, he always kind of left the door open to coming back because he didn't really bury anybody. Like, he just was always talk positively about guys. And so as soon as players or coaches, maybe more so coaches, but as soon as they start really ripping into people, you're like, all right, they're settling into their job. This is what they're going to do. But if not, and he's sort of tiptoeing around it, maybe he's going to leave the door open to the Patriots. You know, maybe he does come back. I still don't see it, but this is weird. I mean, getting hired week 5, we are going into week 6.
It's
a little different.
The whole timing, this entire thing seems strange.
Yeah.
You announce it on Tuesday and he makes his debut on Thursday. I mean, usually these sorts of announcements happen, you know, in the off season, and they work with him and they do mock stuff and they prepare, and he's just going to be sort of thrown to the wolves here on Thursday night.
They should do a segment. They should do about 5 minutes where it's just Terry Bradshaw and Rob Gronkowski. And
then we
as the viewer have to try to determine what are they talking about.
What's the topic?
Yeah, what are they really getting at here? What do they mean by this? Yeah, those guys could just get a little slappy is my guess.
What's your favorite speed limit out there?
Yeah, that's probably what you're going to get.
Yeah.
He's not going to be very good at this, in my opinion.
And how many CBD references will he attempt to work into the...
Well, if he's getting paid as much as was alleged, I would think a ton.
I don't think he's getting paid.
You don't think he's getting $10 million a year?
I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest that might be a trifle high.
Could be. Who's to say? I haven't seen his tax
returns.
To
sell an awful lot of CBD to...
You can just call me Mr. Recovery.
He fixed his concussions.
Yeah, well,
he's fixed everything. He's 100% now, and now he's ready to take on TV.
I want
to
see him, and I'll watch him.
Of course, yeah.
But
you're going to watch.
Well, first of all,
especially
you watch anyway.
Thursday.
Yeah, it's a Thursday night.
And do you for watch people who are these confused, pregame shows, though?
No, I don't.
I really don't.
I really
either.
Try not to.
Yeah.
I'm listening to NFL Sunday.
Thank
That's all
much.
I care about.
We're locked and loaded.
I mean, I will say this, and for people who are confused, the Thursday night game is sort of a co-broadcast. NFL Network has it.
So does Fox.
But Fox has it as well.
It's weird.
He's part of the Fox. Now, does he turn right around and work Sunday for Fox as well?
We'll see. We will see. I mean, I would assume so. Or, yeah, right? Because Bradshaw does both. And, like, those guys, Strahan. Strahan's, that guy doesn't stop working.
He's Strahan.
Man, oh, Jesus.
He must work, like, 500 hours a week.
I know.
You know, he's got the Good Morning America thing. Now they've added the noon thing.
He must be making more now than he ever did as a player.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's got to be just through the roof.
Not even close. Yeah. Well, we'll get to all of those things. Yeah, Rob Gronkowski coming to a TV near you on Thursday night as part of the Fox pregame show and halftime and all that stuff. Or some semblance of Rob Gronkowski.
Does he finish the year doing this?
I think there's a better chance he plays than finishes the year doing this.
Yep.
617-779-7937. Right to the calls with you guys coming up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
It's a little different when you got just cameras staring at you and you're trying to talk and have a conversation about football. But what I would say is people want to know from a player's perspective what you're seeing or what you're going through. Not really about stats and numbers when it comes to players when they're communicating and describing the game. Because anybody can pick up a phone, a tablet, or a Microsoft tablet, anything, and punch up numbers. But they want the insight from you.
Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis, who joined us earlier this hour, brought to you by Town Fair Tire. He was talking specifically about Rob Gronkowski, who starts his new job Thursday night as a pregame and halftime analyst for Fox Network.
Well, the great news really for us is that's at least one segment for Friday.
Oh, God, yes.
We can at least have
and by the way,
stuff to talk about the next day.
From the first days of sports talk radio in this town, we have made a cottage industry out of bitching about network announcers.
Yeah.
And, you know, complain.
It's the best.
You won't hear a lot of complaining about this one.
No. Nope. And because even if he's bad, it's going to be good. Either it's going to be good or it's going to be bad, and it's still going to be funny. Like he's going to be really awkward or say something ridiculous or whatever. So it'll be worth watching. It'll be worth tuning into. Whereas before, you know, tomorrow night, I would probably just tune in for kickoff. Now I'm going to watch the pregame show. Again, I don't know how good he's going to be, but at least it becomes worth watching. And that's obviously what Fox figured. That's why they hired him.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Paul's on the cell phone. Hey, Paul.
Bill, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Very good. There's no doubt that Gronk is a fan favorite. I saw him at Supercross. People loved him. Kenny Chesney came out with a Gronk shirt. The crowd went crazy, not just football fans. I think that this is definitely a CBD marketing blitz. I understand why Fox wants him there. I get it. I just don't think that he's going to have much to say that football fans really are going to get into. That's all I'm saying.
You might be right, Paul. I definitely don't expect him to be this great analyst and breaking everything down.
And I'll tell you this, Fox will not let him do a bunch of CBD mentions here.
No, but
because
you're
right. Then sponsors who are paying money are going to say, wait a minute.
No. I don't think he's going to open up by saying, oh, I feel great and here's why.
Right.
But you are keeping him in the spotlight more.
Yes.
And so CBD has
they're
to
happy
be
that he's there.
Yeah, exactly. Because
but he won't be allowed by Fox will not allow him to drop mentions in here and
no,
there.
No. And I don't think so. But just like Terry Bradshaw has sponsorships, just like Michael Strahan has sponsorships, but those guys aren't just constantly talking about it, but they're still getting attention. What football player do you know that is not an analyst is still relevant, or like you know what he's doing? Maybe you can come up with one or two examples, but it's tough.
It's hard.
It's really difficult.
I mean, Peyton Manning, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. And even then, it's you don't see as many commercials with him. It's because it's like, all right, well, where do I
know
him
from?
And he's
got that ESPN Plus thing, you know.
Oh, yeah,
Peyton's
right.
Peyton's Places or whatever it's called. I've never seen one.
But that's the thing with Gronk. And if he's all of a sudden appearing now every Sunday on the pregame, yeah, it's not as much juice as it would be for a player. But still, millions and millions of people are still seeing his face on a weekly basis. That's great for any product that he's pitching.
Scott's in Weymouth. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good afternoon.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Sure.
What's up? Two quick points, two vastly different topics, but I'll keep it quick, Dale. The whole short week thing might be the most overstated thing in sports. These are professional athletes. If they play on a Sunday, they could probably play on Tuesday if they had to, or on a Wednesday if they had to. On a Thursday, same thing as on a Sunday. It's the dumbest thing ever. How are you going to handle a short week? Please get real.
So I disagree with that.
Yeah,
because
they can
play.
But
I think, yeah, of course they can play, but I feel like we've talked to so many players where they say their body doesn't even feel right until the following Thursday
or maybe later.
Come on,
please.
So are they lying?
Hold on. Dale, don't dump me yet. No, I vehemently disagree with that.
All right, well, I disagree with you. What's your next
point? Listen, when I played hockey, which is a good segue, we're going to go to the Bruins real quick.
Perfect.
Used to love playing back-to-back days. When the equipment was still wet, I loved it.
Yeah, but were you a defenseman with a lot of ice time, or what position were you?
I was actually a terrible left winger.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
Weymouth High School. But, all right, my point is... I'm being serious.
No, I can tell.
That's what worries me.
You
can
back up your first point very well.
What we should be talking about. We got all week to talk about the Pats. The Bruins are in Vegas tonight.
That's
my only question is, why aren't I there? Are you kidding me? The Bruins in Vegas, they're 2-0. They're probably going to be, and I swear I haven't looked at the line.
Yeah.
They're probably plus even money, I would guess.
Probably
at
a
Vegas.
Puck and a half.
I bet they're underdogs.
I'll call it a pick, Dale. I'll bet you a
Vegas,
bottle of beer,
Vegas
Dale.
Is 2-0 and at home.
In the Bruins,
they're a good
2-0
team, too.
And defending Eastern Conference champions. Vegas is probably 130. 130, I would say. Bruins plus 105.
Okay, well, let's get through more Bruins line.
I think that guy.
Scheim.
I actually like that guy.
Vegas is favored.
I had a feeling they would be.
I actually like that guy.
Do you?
He referenced his high school. he disagrees with pro athletes in the NFL saying that, it takes time for their body to recover. And also, the product is not going to be as good. This is not what they're supposed to do. There's been a reason why they've done the one game a week thing for a long time. Guess what? It's also not hockey or basketball or baseball where you can play back-to-back, you can play doubleheaders. Football is very different than those sports. Also,
and as physically taxing as it is to be a hockey player at Weymouth High School,
It's a little different.
It's somewhat more taxing physically to play in an NFL football game.
I love his question was, why am I not in Vegas? That's the best question I think we've ever taken on the show.
I don't know, you didn't go?
I don't know, man. You probably got a cheap flight once the schedules came out. You could have gone out there and watched this game. But also, what are the Patriots and Giants doing this week at practice? I'll tell you, not much.
Both teams today, I'm looking at reports out of New Jersey as well. They are doing literally just walkthrough stuff. They will not have a padded practice this week for a reason.
So when you watch football games and say, man, these teams suck at tackling, one of the reasons why teams suck at tackling is because they never get to tackle. They barely do it. Even on a long week now, they're trying to protect the guys, so they're barely doing it. And then on a short week, forget about it. They probably don't even put pads on all week. And then you got to run out there and throw the game. So you wonder why the games look kind of sloppy is because you're giving them two walkthroughs and a film session. Now you got to go trot out there. Now, the Thursday night games so far this year have been pretty entertaining. They've happened to get some of the best teams. I think that's going to probably find its level, I imagine. I didn't look at the entire rest of the schedule, but I'm sure you're going to get some more of the stinkers out there once the bad teams have to start playing. But the Thursday games traditionally have been pretty rough for a reason, and that's because they shouldn't be playing Sunday and then all of a sudden Thursday, and then you could throw in a travel day in there. Like, it's a mess.
They do generally get better games than ESPN gets on Mondays, though. ESPN gets hosed.
Well, this year they have.
Right.
I mean, there was a lot of bad Thursday football for a long time, and Thursday should be a little bit worse because everybody has to play Thursday. Like, that's just sort of how the rule is, whereas everybody doesn't play Monday. They try to pick it ahead of time, but then they're picking. Like, the Patriots play the Jets in another week on Monday night. Whoever's thought, let's put the Jets on Monday Night Football, and maybe that was like a Le'Veon Bell thing. They thought Sam Darnold would be healthy and be better. I don't know, but like, you're asking for it by putting the Jets on Monday Night Football.
Somebody on Twitter last night suggested that if you cough up a fur ball on a Monday night game, you should be banned from primetime action for the following season. Almost like an NFL relegation. Like,
I don't mind that.
Cleveland should not be allowed to play primetime next year.
Yeah,
because they sucked so bad last night.
I'm
like,
fine with that.
You got to take a year off.
Right.
You can't go on.
And like the poor Bengals should never have been trotted out there year after year after year so they could lose in every single primetime game. Like, no, you've lost your primetime privileges and maybe you can earn them back. You have some nice Sundays going forward and maybe we'll let you back on the Monday night game.
So I want to circle back to one thing that so you're with me that Gronk didn't actually write the statement that I read with his name and quotation marks around it?
I do find it somewhat hard to believe, Dale, when he was citing the great team and cameramen at Fox or whatever the hell. I was like, good Lord. They could at least make it sound a little bit more like
Gronk. How about
Gronk
when he says their deep talent roster is unmatched? Which was important to me.
So
as I embark on this new chapter in my life,
here's why this is also not going to work out. They don't even trust him to write the statement.
No.
Step
he,
one,
he will not say a single sentence on Thursday that will sound anything like this.
He may not say
vroom vroom really good.
He could do that.
He may not say a single sentence. Just period. Just words and sounds. Could just be a bunch of noises from him. I don't know how they're going to use him. And also, those shows, again, they're such a mess. They just have so many people on the panel. So they each get to say, what, 30 seconds? I think the Patriots win. That's going to be Gronk's probably biggest takeaway from the whole game.
What do you think they'll want from him on Thursday? Like he's got no time basically to prepare. If we're right and they've just sort of thrown him into this thing and he hasn't been practicing for the last 3 weeks.
They're going to want him to tell some sort of Tom Brady story and some sort of Bill Belichick story. Oh, tell us about a time that Bill Belichick got mad at you. Or tell us, what's Tom Brady like in the huddle? Like, what's the funniest thing Tom Brady's ever said? It's going to be those kind of questions. And he's going to do, this is my prediction right now. He's going to do the, oh man, I wish I could tell you. Or he's going to have some sort of answer like, oh, I wouldn't be air safe if I said it. Some sort of non-answer about what Belichick says at halftime of games.
Won't this almost give us a window into the possibility of Gronk returning? Because we used to say of Rex Ryan, he wouldn't be critical of anybody because he still wanted to coach again.
Maybe. Coaches, I would say more so. Like Gruden, you don't want to bury a whole bunch of players because then guess what? You might have to end up coaching them. If you're a player, you might be able to get away with it a little bit more because it's trash talk and chances are you're either going to be their opponent or you come back and if they're your teammate, you have to make up a little bit. But also, I think Gronk was so beaten down for 9 years to talk the Patriot way that I guarantee you on Thursday he's going to sound like that. He's not going to say anything bad about anybody. You're going to think it's like a press conference, and here's Gronk just giving you the Patriot spin.
And he'll throw a laugh in now and then to soften the blow.
He'll have like a 69 joke or whatever, and he'll try to keep it light. But
he'll drop that in.
It's not going to be anything crazy. Like he's not going to show up there and just lay into the Giants, it just ripped them and anything else. It's going to be just very generic stuff.
So Kenny Mayne, who's a pretty funny guy, he quote tweeted the Richard Deitch.
Deitch?
I never say it right. He quote tweeted, you know, Fox just announced it's hired Rob Gronkowski as an NFL analyst. And Kenny Mayne followed that up with, the offer to Gronk from The Economist was simply not competitive.
Oh, is that right?
So, yeah, he was trying to decide, do I go to The Economist,
or
I go to Fox and talk football?
We'll see. We'll see. He's jumping in there week 6, which is, again, kind of odd. And
strange.
I don't know. They didn't say if he'll be there every Sunday either, right? Like, I don't know.
Well, they didn't.
Because he's not really replacing anybody. Isn't he just, they're just adding him to the squad?
Yes.
And was he not available week 1?
Or 2, or 3, or
up?
4, or?
Yeah, that is weird. But again, just because you commit to this doesn't mean you can't bail on it. We've seen so many former players recently, like Jason Witten, Jay Cutler even, just sign up and then say, all right, actually, never mind, I'm going to go play again.
Ben Watson would be a better analyst a former Patriots tight end.
Yeah, he'd be better. You know who'd be
very well-spoken.
He would be a fantastic analyst is Richard Sherman.
Yes.
Richard Sherman like immediately could go in there and be one of the best guys.
He'd be like Rodney Harrison. He would say stuff.
He would say stuff, and it helps when you're a great player. Like, there are definitely guys who weren't great players who end up having a pretty good career out of it. But when you're a great player and you're really well spoken and can analyze a game and break stuff down. That's the best. That's if Richard Sherman wants to do it, he'll definitely be able to.
Don't you ever talk about me.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying nice things about you.
Or if you could.
Yeah.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:30. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Want to touch back for just a moment on the moves that the Red Sox made today. Pitching coach Dana Lavangie and the assistant pitching coach were both let go today. Bannister was just let go. Lavangie will continue on as a scout within the organization. I have followed with interest because we talked about this. You know, is this an Alex Cora move? Is this because there is no general manager?
Who's making the decisions?
Right. It's not like Dave Dombrowski could say to Cora, "Hey, listen, no. We got to make some changes in your staff here. We got to move the pitching coach out. You know, I don't like how that all developed." You don't have that guy.
No.
You've got four people who are holding down the spot, kind of a four-headed monster of player ops. I can't imagine that Sam Kennedy, who's the president of business, the business side, I can't imagine him telling
now,
Alex Cora.
The one thing I would say is that the coaching moves and everything, which should be, you know, the guys on his staff, right, the manager should have a big say in it, but usually kind of working with the general manager. You remember going back a couple years ago when Cora was first hired and John Henry was talking during spring training and people were saying, well, this team doesn't look a whole lot different, because that was before they had
right.
signed. It was like a couple days before they signed JD Martinez. Like, well, this team doesn't look very different. Like, why do you expect things to be different? And John Henry got all defensive and he's like, well, what do you mean it's not different? Like, we have a new manager. And like, he was so adamant that the new manager was going to be the biggest change and the whole new staff that they hired was going to be a new big deal. And so maybe he is more hands-on than we thought.
I mean, Lou Maloney, who was, you know, obviously a former major league player, part of the OMF squad in the afternoon, has been tweeting about this. He's very irate that they would let Lavangie go. He correctly points out that he was not given a closer to work with, that it was like bullpen by committee for half of the year.
Right. Is it Lavangie's job to keep Chris Sale healthy? Is it Lavangie's job
David
to keep
Price
David Price healthy?
Healthy?
And you can say, well, oh, he's got to manage his innings or whatever. Not him. Not him.
It's That's also valid if Lavangie was part of the spring training program that they put these guys under, which it sort of sounds like Alex Cora wants to continue next year.
He loves
year.
It, so you can't fire that guy if it was his idea and then have Cora defend it and keep him around.
And so the question here is, did Alex Cora say to the Red Sox, look, I want to make some changes in my staff, or was he told to make changes to his staff? If he was told...
Who told him?
I literally, the only name I can come up with is John Henry.
Yeah, there's only three people ahead of Cora right now in the organization, right? It would be Henry, Warner, Kennedy.
That'd be it.
That'd be it. None of those guys I want making baseball moves, by the way.
No, and none of the four people who are running the baseball operations part of it now should be making any recommendations.
So Maloney tweeted, anyone that knows Dana and works with him on a daily basis would never fire him. I refuse to believe this was Alex's call. Rob Bradford, WEEI.com, and the host of the Bradfo Show podcast, he tweeted out, when John Farrell was fired, pitchers universally lobbied for Lavangi to stay for a reason. In his first year, he helped guide the Red Sox pitching staff to a World Series. The world doesn't change that much in 1 year. This was a bad move. So we'll see who else they bring here, but it almost seems like the team was so bad last year, they're blaming, or so disappointing. Well, and bad. What am I couching that for? They were bad last year.
Well, compared to the World Series champions of the year
before. And for
the
talent that they had, they were bad. And they axed Dombrowski, but that must not have been enough. They're like, all right, well, Dombrowski can't be the only change that we make. We need to divvy out more blame, and now it seems like Daniel Lavangi is taking part of that. But with no closer and with a bunch of starters who are getting hurt, I don't really know what else you wanted him to do.
So let's play it out here. They moved Daniel Lavangi out. They moved the assistant pitching coach out today.
Yeah.
Can Alex Cora hire a pitching coach tomorrow?
I if he can, who can? Maybe get the GM first. Maybe get the GM and they can figure things out together. And then, because again, it's going to be a slightly odd situation where the GM inherits a manager, much like Dave Dombrowski inherited John Farrell. We all like Alex Cora, but let's see what the next general manager thinks. And now all of a sudden, if he's not really sure about Cora and he's like, wait a minute, I don't even like any of these guys on the staff, then you're going to have all kinds of issues there going forward.
Is it possible, and I'm just throwing stuff against the wall here because I don't know the answer, is it possible that there were discussions between the manager and the general manager, Dave Dombrowski, you know, as the season went on, and that between them they said, you know what, maybe we need to move on from Dana, you know, at the end of the season. Is it possible that they talked about this, went back and forth, and in effect Alex is doing it now to allow Dana Lavangi, although I was going to say to get another job, but he's staying in the organization as a scout?
Yeah, what is that? Like, that whole thing is very odd to me. I mean, I guess that's possible, but I'll take Merlone's word for it. He refuses to believe that it's Cora's decision because he knows those guys certainly a whole lot better than I do. And if he doesn't think it's his decision, it has to be from somebody higher up that thinks, all right, we need more of a there won't be as much of a drastic roster change because so many of the guys are under contract. I mean, I guess they have to, because they still have to trade Mookie Betts, and everybody's anticipated that they're going to do that. But a lot of the guys that were a problem last year will be back just because they're still under contract. So maybe they're trying to make more of a overhaul.
Would, and I'm just really spitballing here now, would Jason Varitek be considered a candidate?
I have no idea. I mean, maybe. I mean, Daniel Lavangi was a guy that I remember Merlone talking about him. He's like, he could be a hitting coach. He could be a pitching coach.
Right,
like he could do all kinds of stuff. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Is that what Varitek wants to do? Is he trying to be a manager someday? Is he trying to be a coach someday?
He eventually wants to be a manager.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely could be in the mix. I don't know if that's necessarily the right move or not. I mean, to Bradford's point, Lavangi got so much praise a year ago, and it was a big part of the success. You wonder why, like, Alex Cora's job is 100% safe, but he had a terrible year. He had an unbelievable year 1 year, then it was terrible, and he's back, and I think everybody's fine with him being back. But now Lavangi was really good 2 years ago. The team struggled this year, so now he's out. And it does seem a little odd.
The assistant hitting coach was let go, and he was not kept within the organization.
Yeah, he was a problem.
He was
a real problem.
The hitting coach gets to stay, and by the way, they hit the ball great. I mean, I don't know why you'd want to make a change. This seems weird.
Yeah, it's odd. That's why I think that the future of the Red Sox is shaky. And that's why 2 years ago, people thought it was sort of a negative attitude, but it was they really needed to capitalize on last year, and or 18, and they did, and they needed to capitalize on 19, which they did not because so many contracts were still up in the air, and even though you had a young core, you were probably going to lose some guys, so you really needed to win. And now it just seems like the future could be pretty muddied. You might lose two of your best players. You have these huge contracts committed to these pitchers who are hurt all the time. I don't know how they're going to pull themselves out of it. And I don't think it's by firing the assistant hitting coach.
It wouldn't seem that would be it. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got Kiefer Madness coming up at the bottom of the next hour. When we come back, we're going to talk about this dance that's going on between China and the NBA.
And we might hear from Tom Brady.
And we're
hoping
that we're going to get a chance to get to that as well. Who knows when that'll happen? It's supposed to be at noon, but these things are fluid.
We'll see.
But we'll listen to Tom Brady's press conference as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.